Yeah, yeah, go to there.
Hey, good morning. It's a pleasure to welcome everyone to our first legal holiday shiur of 5777. And as always, it's a tremendous, it's a source of pride to us in the shul that so many people take a legal holiday where you could be off, you could be doing all kinds of pursuits, skiing, tobogganing, bungee jumping, whatever else somebody was thinking of doing today. And instead, Baruch Hashem, we take the opportunity to come together, to hear Divrei Torah, and to be inspired, and to take what could be an exercise in Gashmius and turn it into an exercise in Ruchnius. If today is a day of Thanksgiving, we're ultimately thankful for the opportunity to come and learn Torah. That's our Thanksgiving here. Our speaker this morning is someone who's familiar to us, both from the fact that on one level he's graced us with his presence and his shiurim a number of times in the past couple of years, but more fundamentally in that he's a native East Sider, not only a native East Sider, but somebody who has an intimate connection to Bialystok Shul, having served years ago as the Baal Kore here, and being an integral part of the community. And now Baruch Hashem, he's zocha to be Marbitz Torah in many, many fora. In Yeshiva University, where he's a very, very extremely popular Magid Shiur, through various Svarim, which he's put out, through Shiurim and Pesach, where he's zocha to give Shiurim on a regular basis. It's a covet at this time to call it Khan Rabbi Elchanan Adler, who'll speak about praying for the sick, hows, ways, and means. I want to mention as well that the shiur this morning is sponsored by Mark and Jacqueline Newman, marking the yard site today of Jacqueline's grandmother, Malka Bas Tzvi Hirsch, and the neshama should have an aliyah, should see much nachas ruach from the Torah mitzvahs and Maisim Tov and the families involved in it, particularly from the Divrei Torah, which we'll hear today. Without further ado, it's a pleasure and a covenant to introduce Rabbi Adler.
Good morning, everybody. Rishus Avi Mori, Shufim Morasi, my mother should be here soon. Rishus Rabbi Ram and all of you. It's really a push for me to be here again, and it really brings back tremendous memories, nostalgic memories. I think the walls really speak, and they could tell a lot of wonderful stories, and I feel it's part of who I am when I come back into this room, and I think about the many years that I was here as the Baal Kore and as davening here. I want to wish Rabbi Ram continued success and atzlacha, bring this show forward, and all of you should all be gesund. As a way of introducing the topic, we should just offer that bracha that we shouldn't have to be davening for ourselves or anyone else in that forum, but rather we should have the siyata d'shmaya, all of us, to have b'chus yamin, b'shanim, and b'riyas agrufa nefesh. So we daven every day, and it's a mitzvah to daven. According to the Rambam, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven at least once a day. According to the Ramban, it's a mitzvah midrabanan to daven. The nusach ha-tfila is something that we have in Anshik Nesas HaGdola, the Shemona Esrei. And the Shemona Esrei gives us many different things that we can daven for. And these needs are spiritual and they're also physical in nature. One of the central brachas of Shemona Esrei that we, of course, focus on is the bracha b'rifa'enu. We ask in general terms that Kadosh Baruch Hu should be Rofe Chole Amu Yisrael Rifa'enu Hashem Bnei Rafe. But we also know that if you look in the Siddurim, there's a paragraph that you can add within Rifa'enu where you ask a specific Chole Hashem, you should send Rifu Hashem Yiratz Mufanacha Rifana to a particular Chole. We give the name of the Chole and the mother's name, the Sok Shal Chole Yisrael, and we conclude the Bracha. We can also have a similar paragraph recited within a different Bracha of Shemona Esrei, that of Shema Koleinu, where we can also add any bakasha, any wish that you want to ask for. Also, you have the option of adding at the end of Shemona Esrei in the section of Kaidah Tzor, any bakasha that you have, including the one having to do with the chole. So we obviously are very sensitive to the importance of davening on behalf of someone who's sick. Besides for the formal davening of Shemona Esrei Rifa'enu, we also have a special nusach of Misha Beirach that we have composed. This goes back hundreds of years as part of Kriyas HaTorah. We have a Misha Beirach that we say on behalf of Bavur certain Chole, and we ask, sometimes we give Staka, and sometimes we say Tehillim with a Misha Beirach as well. Very special tefillah. And as we'll see, there are other times that also call for tefillah for a chole. So I'd like to discuss this topic. It's a very vast topic. We can't really fully get the full scope of the shiur and the topic. And what I'm going to do is focus on a few points. Those who are perhaps interested in a broader survey of the topic, I actually spoke about this at the Kol Yom Rishon at YU about a week ago in a more broader sense. And if you're interested, you can probably find that shiur online. But I'd like to focus in on a couple of aspects relating to tefillah al hachole. So you think about Tanakh and stories in Tanakh that come to mind where somebody davens on behalf of a chole. There are many, many examples. We have sheets in front of you. I'd like to focus first on two examples, one which we know about in last week's Parsha, and one which is in Parsha's Bahaloscha. In last week's Parsha, we read about how Abimelech, king of Plishtim, took Sarah, thinking that she was Avram's sister, and when he did that, Hashem inflicted all kinds of sicknesses and illnesses on him and his kingdom. It says in the Torah that the women were not able to give birth. Chazal say people couldn't go to the bathroom. It was a terrible situation. And Avram warns Abimelech he must return Sarah, and he has to appease Avraham. And Hashem assures Abimelech that Avram will daven on his behalf. Of course, Abimelech does what he's told. He claims innocence, and he does, in fact, return Sarah. He appeases Avram, he appeases Sarah, he gives them gifts, he gives them all good things. And Avram does the right thing. Avram davens for Abimelech, Vayispal Avraham el Elohim. As a result of Avram's tefillah, Vayirpa Elohim es Abimelech, Ves Ishto, Ves Amhosa, Vamhosa, Vayeledu. So Avram's prayers were answered on behalf of Abimelech. This is one example. You might find perhaps the first example in Chumash of somebody davening for a chole. There are other examples in Chumash, but I want to focus on one more, and that is in Parshas Bealoscha, perhaps the famous example of Moshe Rabbeinu davening on behalf of Miriam. And there you see the words in the tefillah that speak to the theme of refuah, the very short tefillah. Many times when you see tchinos that are printed about refuah for a chole, they'll use these words. Kel na refa na la, kel na refa na li. Avram, Moshe Rabbeinu used five short words. Miriam was struck with tzaras. We know she spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe didn't really mind, but Hashem took it to heart, as it were, and rebuked Miriam. Aaron begs Moshe to daven. That's how it's interpreted in the Targum Unklis. You should daven for her. Moshe davens. He says, Kel na refa na la. That was Moshe's tefillah, of course. Hashem heals Miriam 7 days later. She comes back into the camp, and the Jews journey on. We see that it's important to daven on behalf of a chole. We also see that the person that's davening is not just an ordinary person, somebody of stature, Avraham Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu. We also find that they were asked to daven. Abimelech begs Avraham, without even using those words, you know, help me out. Aaron says to Moshe, daven. And so they do what they're asked to do. This idea of going to a special person, individual, a chacham, a tzaddik, and asking that they daven and for the tzaddik to daven is a gemara in Bava Basra, and it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Take a look in source number 3. The Ramah quotes, in Hilchos Bikur Cholim, we'll see more about that in a bit, Yesh omrim shemishi yesh lo chole beveso. Somebody has in their house somebody that is sick. Yelech etzel chacham shebeir. They should go to the rav, if you will, in the city. Sheivakesh ovracham. And that person should daven on behalf of the individual who is sick. The Nimuke Yosef, it's in from the Gemara in Bava Basra, Yosef quotes, this was a minhag he says in Sarfas. Kol mi sheyesh lo chole mevakesh pnei harav. Tofes Yeshiva, Rav the Rosh Yeshiva, Shivarachosa. So there's a special concept of going to the Rav and asking them to daven. I want to understand this on a deeper level. What's the significance of going to the special individual and asking that they daven. What's the role of a chacham in terms of davening for a chole? And it's interesting, it's not just not on your source sheet, but I couldn't fit everything in, but I'll just share with you off the sheet. The Ramban in Chumash learns Pshat in the Pasuk in Parashas Yisro. The Pasuk says that Yisro is describing to Moshe what he was doing all day when the people were waiting on long lines, and we just assume it had to do with people who had arguments, and they needed someone to judge who's right and who's wrong. But Yisro talks about a lot of different things. And among the things he says is that people are coming to me, Lidrosh Elokim. Lidrosh Elokim, to see God. What does it mean? It says in Ramban, Lispalel Al Choleim. Lidrosh Elokim means they're asking me to daven on behalf of people that they have who are sick. So you see in the Ramban, this is something that Moshe Rabbeinu used to do on a regular basis. Besides for the people arguing with Dinei Torah, they would come waiting for Moshe to give a bracha and to daven for people that they needed to daven for refuah. So what's the significance of a person davening, or chacham, a tzaddik, davening on behalf of others? Moreover, this question is compounded by another comment in Rashi, in Parshas Vayera, last week's parsha. We have later in the parsha that Hagar and Yishmael are banished from the house of Avram. We know that Yishmael and Yitzchak, they weren't quite getting along, and Sarah, whatever they were doing, whatever Yishmael was doing was certainly inappropriate behavior, mitzachek. And we have Sarah insisting that Hagar, the mother, Yishmael, be thrown out of the house. Avram isn't so sure, he feels bad. Hashem says, you must listen to Sarah, she is greater in Nevuah than you are. Send them out of the house, and so Avram sends them out of the house. They wander in the Midbar in the desert. They run out of water. Yishmael is clearly deathly sick. Hagar is crying. Yishmael must also be crying. Suddenly, the Malach comes to Hagar and says, don't be afraid. Ki shama Elokim es kol hana'ar ba'asher usham. Hashem has heard the voice of the child, of the lad. Now, the Pasuk says that Hagar was crying, and yet what the Malach says is that Hashem heard the voice of the child. What happened to the tefillah of Hagar? Why does it mention the child? If Hagar was the one that was crying and davening. So Rashi quotes from Chazal, you have it here on Surah 6, Mikan, Sheyafa tfilas hachole mitfilas acher malav. Better and more effective is the tfilah of the sick person, the sick individual, than those others who daven on behalf of the chole. And therefore, the kodemus liskado, that gets accepted sooner than the tfilah of others. Fantastic idea. In other words, the person themselves has a greater ability to pierce the heavens, or a tefillah to be answered, than others. So how does that square with the idea of going to someone else, especially a chacham, that they should die? This is a major problem. And it's interesting as well. There's a certain tension in this comment of Rashi. And that's because of a Gemara in source number 8. Gemara in Brachas Daf Hei. The Gemara tells the following story. Rav Yochanan was ill, Yochanan Chalash. Rabbi Chanina comes by to visit. He says, is it good that you have these suffering pains, these yisurim? He says, rather not. Even though it increases my schar, I'd rather not have the yisurim and not have the schar. Then he says, give me your hand. And the visitor gave his hand, Rabbi Chanina, and he gave him chizuk. So the Gemara asked, why does he need to reach out for help with his hand? He couldn't do it himself. It was figurative. Why did he have to get it from someone else, this lifting up, this inspiration? And the Gemara says, "In chavush matir atzmo, beis asurim." That a person who's incarcerated can't release himself from prison. You need the somehow external intervention. You need something from outside to get you out of your dilemma, your situation. When you're caught up in a web, in a situation that you're suffering, you can't release yourself from the suffering. You need someone from the outside to pull you out. That's the nature of the way it is. So on the one hand, we say the tefillah of the chole is the best tefillah, and on the other hand, we say that you need someone else from the outside. When we say the tefillah of the chole, there's another thing to think about. What about beyond the chole himself? What about the family? What about the extended family? What about friends? Is there any priority given to a tefillah
of immediate family, closer circle, versus someone from the outside. So I didn't find this explicitly in a parish, in a commentary, but in a story that I saw quoted of the Stipler. There's a sefer by Rabbi Rudinsky of Yerushalayim. He tells a story that he visited the Stipler. He asked the Stipler to daven for a chola that he had in his family. So the Stipler said to him, "Your tefillah is better than mine." "Why?" I asked him, "Why?" He says, "It's a Rashi in Chumash." "Which Rashi?" "The Rashi we just read, that the tefillah of the chola is more effective than the tefillah of others, and it's more readily accepted." Which means that the Stipler understood this Rashi, this Chazal, to mean not just about the chola, but there's a sense of a hierarchy. The chola is more effective than someone who's suffering not firsthand, but perhaps secondhand. But then, beyond that, someone who's suffering because they're a close family member, their tefillah is more readily accepted than somebody who's in a further circle, further out. And so apparently, the closer you are to the situation, the more effective your tefillah. That's how the Stipler understood this chazal. And yet here we have, on the other hand, this idea of a chacham, a tzaddik davening on behalf of a chola. So what do we make of this? So I think there are a couple of thoughts and perspectives that we can glean. First of all, if you take a look at the comment of the Me'iri on source number 7, this is the Gemara Bava Basra that is the basis of the Ramaz point that you should go to the Chacham Subair, to daven. So the Me'iri explains the Gemara as follows. He says, "La'olam ye'ilibo shel adam batuach, sha'tfilah kishinasis ketikuna levatelis esakzera." Person should trust and know that a proper tefillah can annul the decree and can be effective. Someone has a sick person at home, or whatever tzara it might be, should go to the chacham, to the tzaddik, So the Me'iri says, what is the purpose of going to the tzaddik? In order to have the tzaddik teach you how to daven, how best to daven. So it's not so much the tzaddik davening for the Me'iri, it's the tzaddik teaching you what you should do, how you should daven. In other words, for the Me'iri, that seems to be the answer. Not so much the chacham's davening per se has a special power. The chacham can give you perspective, how to daven stronger, how to daven better, where and how, and therefore you can learn the best way to daven. Therefore, your tefillah, either the chola or the person in the family of the chola, which we said is even, more precious person than someone beyond on the outside circle, so you'll know how to daven better because the chacham will teach you that. According to the Me'iri, that would be the way to understand it. Okay, but there are many other perspectives. Look at the Mizrahi, the commentary on Rashi, source number 9. He asked the question that we just posed. On the one hand, we say, Yofet tefillas hachole, the tefillah of the chole is more precious and more readily accepted, more effective than tefillah of others. And yet we have the Gemara and Brachos that we had quoted in source 8, that Rav Yochanan couldn't bring himself up, as it were. He needed someone else because a person incarcerated can't release himself from prison. Sarach Lomar says, Rav Yo Mizrahi, Mishum de Lomach Mechavein. Practically speaking, in theory, the cholest tefillah is most effective. Practically speaking, it's not so easy. Because when a person is in pain and suffering, they can't really have proper kavanah. As much as you would want that you have the incredible power of the kavanah of a tefillah, but the fact is, if they're in pain, they can't think clearly, they can't daven properly. You can't have the right kavanah, then you need the outside help. Then you need someone who can have better kavanah, or perhaps even equal kavanah, but somewhat deficient, but somehow it's coming from the outside, then in chavish mater atzmo, you need someone from the outside. But if the person himself is able to have the perfect kavana, then their tefillah is even better. So according to this understanding, it sort of goes, it's a question about how much kavana there is in the tefillah. On the most ideal level, with a perfect kavana, the best tefillah of all is the tefillah of the chol, and that breaks through all barriers. Once you're talking about a tefillah with less than perfect kavana, then it's possible that the tefillah of the chola won't be sufficient because he's in the situation. He can't quite have the kavana. Someone else can have more kavana or even equal kavana, but since they're coming from the outside, their tefillah can be effective. That's what we would say based on the Mizrahi. So it comes out that there is an element of Ein Chavos Matir Atzmo. There is an element, at least to the extent that the Kavanah is not perfect, where the person, the Cholah, can't really do it for himself. They need people from the outside. This is also what the Masha seems to assume. The Masha in Ramos says, you see here, he's commenting on a Gemara there regarding Yitzchak and Rivka. He says, Tfilas Chavero Shel Adam Yosef Mekugatz. Tfilah of somebody else is more effective from the tefillah of the person himself, based on the thought of Ein Chavush Matir Atzmo. Therefore, says the Masha, Rachel demands of Yaakov that he daven for children, that she have children. Sarah demands of Avram that he daven for her, that she have children. And why not her own tefillah? Because something about someone else's tefillah can be more effective than your own tefillah. And then there are others who perhaps say, maybe tefillah is different. Tefillah is different than Ein Chavush Matir Atzmo. Tefillah is a different idea, and maybe there is something to be said for the tefillah of the Chol himself. Not a simple question to figure out. I did find a fascinating comment in Sefer Chassidim, one of the Rishonim of Yudah Chassid, source 12. He assumes that there is a problem of Ein Chavush Matir Atzmo. Person who's in the suffering, in the cage, in the prison, can't do it by themselves. But then he asked an interesting question. Think back to the case of Avraham Avinu's praying for Avimelech. So this tefillah worked for Avimelech. Avimelech and his maidservants, everybody was able to give birth. But it also helped for Avraham Avinu himself. How so? Chazal tell us in Source 11, if somebody davens for someone else, and they are in need of that same Yeshua, that same refuah, hu nena tchila. Hashem will answer that tefillah for you even before he'll answer for the other person. In other words, the tefillah is effective for yourself if you daven for someone else. And we see this from the fact that Avram davens for Avimelech. And what does Hashem do? Hashem made sure that Sarah herself conceived. She became pregnant. Hashem pocket as Sarah. Similarly with Eov, it says Eov was taunted by his friends, but Eov davened for his friends, and he ended up getting back a good life at the end of the story. So the question is asked by Sefer Chassidim in source number 12. On the one hand, we say, Yesh mispalel al acherim v'nen. It's possible to daven for others, and Hashem answers the tefillah. Va'al atzmo, you daven for yourself, ve'eino nen. For yourself it doesn't work. But wait a second. Hare yomru. Chazal also tell us, kol mispalel al acherim, Gam chefso yeinase. You done for others. Hashem does what you need as well, like Avram and like in Eov's case. The eich nomar. So how can I tell you? A few lines down. Yesh mispal achem v'nena barachmo eno nena. And then he quotes the following from the Gemara in Chulin. Rabbi Chia, he had flax in Eretz Yisrael, and his flax ended up getting struck by problem that occurred with the flax growing, but everyone else's was not affected. Pishtano laka ubischuso lo laka pishim shel acherim. He davened for others, and it worked. Didn't work for himself. So what's the answer? And his answer is fascinating. He says, apparently it didn't work for himself because ein chavos matir atzmo. You can't release yourself from your own situation. And yet Avram and Eov, it worked for them as well. The answer is shiny hustle. What was unique about the case of Avram and of Eov? Shahayu kisonim. Who did they daven for? Avram davens for Avimelech, who in effect was an enemy. He had started up with Avram. He had caused Avram such aggravation and suffering by taking Sarah. Avram could have been easily, sadistically gloating over the suffering of Avimelech. Magialo, right? He deserves it. But he did. So too Eov and his friends, they bothered him, they taunted him, they made his life miserable, it's all your fault. And they overcame that feeling of smugness that, you know, you deserve it. And they were able to daven for the others despite their feeling of animosity. That's the difference, says the Sefer Chassidim. As he says inside, they should have been happy for what was going on to their enemy, and yet he davened. And so it was with Eov. That's Midas Chassidus Yisera. That's an extra measure of piety. So typically he says, if you're davening for yourself, it may not work. If you're davening for others, it works for them, not for you. But if the davening for others is something which is counterintuitive, it's against your nature, you're breaking your nature, and you're able to be mochel what the person did to you, and based on that, the person is suffering, and you say, I daven for you, that's the koach of a tefillah that can even work, even if you're in prison, and it helps you as well. Fascinating idea. And then he says, basically, Klal Yisrael are a raven zelazet. When some person suffers, we have to daven for each other. And he concludes with mentioning the importance of davening. We'll soon get to this more at length. Something he does mention at the end I want to point out, and that is that when you daven for someone else, and that's the power of tefillah, to daven for someone else, so he brings the case of Shmuel, who davens for Klal Yisrael, and Shmuel says, I guided you. And this is similar to what the Me'iri says to some extent. He says, when is the Chacham, the Tzaddik, able to daven for others? Because he can come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, look, I inspired them, I elevated them, I brought them up. Toward the end of the source here, he says, Hanavi tzarach omer b'tfilasu, Rebbo Nishon kvar shamu li masha horesi osam lasas b'tonecha. Why does the Tzaddik have the koach to daven for others? And why can he daven and his tefillah be effective? The person couldn't daven for himself according to the Sefer Chassidim. But the Tzaddik can do it because the Tzaddik can instruct, the Tzaddik can guide, the Tzaddik can give them some musr, can inspire them to tshuva. And then if he does that, then the Tzaddik can say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look what I've accomplished, I've raised the level of this person, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do what I'm asking and give them the refuah. So there still has to be a two-way street. It's not just throw yourself into the hands of the Tzaddik and go back and do your own thing. But even after you go to the Tzaddik, there has to be some sense of being inspired by the Tzaddik. And that what gives the Tzaddik the power to daven based on the fact that he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look what I've done. I brought them up a notch or two. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now daven, now help that situation. I want to turn for a little bit to a mitzvah that is very, very much tied to tefillah. At first glance, we don't necessarily see the connection. And yet, as we see, the connection is very strong. And that is the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, which is also connected to the beginning of last week's parasha with Hashem visiting Avraham Avinu after the Bris Milah. So the Torah writes in Hilchos Bikur Cholim in source 13 on the other side of your sheets. Kivan shechol ha'adam, a person falls sick, rachmana litzlan, mitzvah al kol adam levakra. The mitzvah is for all other people, whoever it might be, to visit. Bikur Cholim. This is what we find with Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mevakeh chole, and vayera elav Hashem. U'mitzvah gedola hi levakeh. It's a tremendous mitzvah to be mevakeh chole, says the Torah. Why? Shemitoch kach yivakesh olav rachamim. By visiting the sick, you're able, from that experience, to daven for the chole. When you see the situation, you're led to daven for them. The nimtza ki u'machaya oso. And it's like you'd be reviving the person through your tefillah. That's one of the elements of Bikur Cholim. Furthermore, says the Torah, another element of Bikur Cholim is mitoch she'ro'eyu ma'ayin v'inyano. You see the situation, you look at what's needed, and yitzterach l'shem davar, maybe there's something you need, maybe you need more ear, maybe open a window, maybe get a nurse, maybe whatever issue it is, comfort, palliative, whatever it might be, medicine. This is something that comes from Bikur Cholim. That means to sweep and to clear the air. But one of the things that Torah mentions is to daven. The Beis Yosef quotes from the Ramban as well, one of the key elements of Bikur Cholim is to daven. The Ramban says, we see that Bikur Cholim has in it, number one, to sweep and to clear the air, should be musty, do whatever needs are needed for the Cholim. And Yimsa Nachas Ruach im Chaver, he should feel emotionally comfortable, lifts his spirits. The Ode, and the furthermore, he says, Kidei Sheyachavin Daito Rachami. Yivaker Chole, in order to be able to focus on davening, the Yivaker Shalav Hilkach. The Rabban concludes, Hamavakis Acholet Velobikis of Rachami. To visit a Chole and not to utter a Tefillah, Lokie Mitzvazu. Has not fulfilled the Mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. The Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara Nedarim Daf Mem. This is a halacha that poskim say perhaps don't apply today because of various reasons. of the nature of our society, but the Gemara says one ideally should not be mevakeh chola in the first 3 hours of the day or the last 3 hours of the day. Why not? A person shouldn't visit during the first 3 hours because in the morning the chola feels better, generally. And therefore, you're going to come in the morning, you're not going to think, I have to die. Everything is fine, it's not a big deal. They look okay, they're in good spirits, they feel strong. Not to go at the end of the day, because at the end of the day, people are more weak. And when you come at the end of the day, you figure there's no hope. Why daven? So you come at a time that you're more readily going to daven. That's why you don't go the first 3 hours or the last 3 hours. Again, today we don't assume this halach. But again, the point is clear how that you have to be back with chola and you have to daven at that time. One of the Talmidim of the Rashba, Rav Yaakov Misakli, wrote a sefer of drashas called Torah Samincha. In Parshas Vayera, he has a long discussion of Bikur Cholin, and there's one sentence which I took from that long paragraph. He says, "In ein adam mispal ala chola b'kavana gemura." How important is it to daven when you visit the sick? If you're not davening with sincerity, ein lo levakra. Better not to visit. Ki amispal ala ein pi v'libo shavim. If it's just lip service, you don't really sincerely feel what you're saying. You are a hypocrite. It's not just about the importance of davening. It's important to davening with sincerity. There is a question in halacha. What about somebody who visits a sick and really hates the person's guts? Should you or shouldn't you be mevakeh chola? So the first opinion says, yesh omrim, the son of yachaleh mevakeh chola. He's your worst enemy and he's coming to visit you when you're sick. So some say he can do it. And the Ramah disagrees, v'lo nira li, elo lo yevakeh chola. Echsone should not be mevakeh chola. I get chills when I think of this story. I have my uncle, Zuchanu Avracha. He was in the shtetl, and he had a way of his brother, he knew how to capture personalities in the shtetl. So there was a person in the shtetl that he recalled, this individual, apparently a very sick individual, emotionally sick. But this emotionally sick individual was on the Chevra Kadisha. I won't mention his name, doesn't really matter. But obviously, you don't want a person like the Chevra Kadisha, to say the least. But worse than that is, this individual would be Mevakeh Chola, and while he's in the presence of the Chola, this is my uncle's capturing what he saw, this individual would be making gestures and motions as follows. I'm sick to the stomach to think about such a person, and yet this was a reality apparently in this case. But that's a grotesque example of what we're discussing over here, of Sone Lo Yevakeh Chola, and it's a frightening thing and a prospect to think about. But even in a smaller degree, sometimes people have ambivalence. People in some ways, you know, they suffered at the hands of this person, and yet they feel guilty, and they don't feel guilty, and they come to visit, and there's ambivalence. And better, such a person should not be mevakeh chola. That's clearly the halacha. There are halachas about davening. So when you come to mevakeh chola, you have to daven. When should you daven? How should you daven? Interesting. The Gemara says that, paskim shulchan aruch, you can daven in the presence of a chola in any language. You don't need to use Lashon HaKodesh. When you daven not in the presence of the chola, then you use Lashon HaKodesh. That's what says in Shulchan Aruch, source 18. Kishimvakesh alavrachamin, imvakesh lefanav, yachal levakesh b'chol lashon sheyirtzeh. In the presence of the chola, use any language. Imvakesh lo befanav, lo yivakesh ela b'lashon HaKodesh. That's one halacha. So you don't need to dafke use Lashon HaKodesh if you're mevakeh chola at the time. Whatever words you say, whatever language, that's the tefillah. Another halacha in the Gemara Brachos. If you mevakish rachamim al chavero, and this means in his presence, as the Magen Avraham says in source 20, you're in the chola's presence, then you don't have to mention the name of the chola. Ein tzarech lahazkir shemo. As we see in Bahaloscha, when Moshe says, kel na refan na lo, doesn't mention Miriam's name, V'lo kamat kishma de Miriam, says the Magen Avraham, that means hanimil defanav. You don't say the name of the chola in the presence of the chola, just refana to the chola. The Chassam Sofer writes in the Dorm Daf Mem that it's probably better not to mention the Chola's name in the presence of the Chola. Perhaps it's Ma'ora the Din on the person. You don't mention the name. If you have to, you're not in the presence of the Chola, you mention the name. I happen to have here a Tefillah, a little Tchinos book that I happen to notice in Pesek in one of the shuls. So they have various Tefillahs and Tchinos for different things. There's a paragraph of Tefillah al Chola I happen to notice. It says, "Banu levakish lefanecha rachamim al ploni ben plonis kelna refana lo." Now the problem is that it talks about lechola hazeh. It says lechola hazeh and it says ploni ben plonis. So it doesn't seem to work. If it's lechola hazeh, you don't mention the name. One of the svarim, I think it's Dedo Machne Ephraim, the grandson of the Bel Shem Tov, has a fascinating remez in the pasuk kelna refana lo. Moshe doesn't say Miriam, doesn't mention Yocheved, but he did indirectly. Because if you take the words Refa-Na and you add them up, Refa is Reish Pei Aleph is 281, and Na is Nun Aleph is 51. Together is 332. You take the name Miriam, which is Mem Reish Yud Mem, is 290, and Yocheved, which is 36, 38, 42. 42 and 290 is 332. So Refa-Na equals 332, which is Miriam Yocheved. So in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu, by not saying Miriam Yocheved, but his words reflected the tefillah specifically for Miriam, daughter of Yocheved. So that's the halacha. You don't mention the name in the presence of the chole. What's called the presence of the chole, and what's called davening at the time of Bikur Chole? If a person goes to Mevakeh Chole and they feel very bad and they feel sorry and they want to daven, but they don't say a word in the form of davening while they're there, and they go home and then they pour out their heart, that doesn't fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Chole. The tefillah has to be said in connection to the visit. And the Rav Shlomo Zalman, the source 21, makes it clear that way. Miu, eina tefillah nechileles in mitzvahs Bikur Cholem el kishemispalo b'shas habikur dafka. Tefillah has to be said in connection to the visit that's made. But does that mean literally in the presence of the chola? Let's say you visit the chola and then you haven't left the hospital and you're in the corridor outside. Does that qualify? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's also good. That doesn't mean it has to be literally by the bedside. Elish ain't sarach uspalel b'fan of mamish. And then he adds in parentheses, sometimes lefa'amim adarav. It might be better mutav sheyifrosh v'tzdadim shelo yargish hachole bekach v'yidak. It might be better to go off to a corner and daven as opposed to offering this tefillah of mamish right there, because the chole will hear that and it will get more aggravated, realizing how situation is really, really precarious. So you have to know, you can do it there, you can do it off to the side. But af bechedor hasamach, he says, you can do it even in a room, in a corridor, in a room next door, and that's called davening as part of the Bikur Cholim, as opposed to after you leave the house or the hospital, that wouldn't qualify. Now there's an interesting question. What's called a tefillah? So you wish the person a refuah shleima. Is that good enough? So Rav Shlomo Zalman thinks it would be fine. Which is typically what we would do, chashiv tefillah, that's a tefillah. But all this has to be done then when you're there. I believe Rav Asher Weiss doesn't agree with this. Rav Asher Weiss has an essay in Parshas Vayera on Bikur Cholim. He thought that refuah shleima is not enough. As far as the mitzvah of tefillah and Bikur Cholim, you have to do something more than just refuah shleima, just a nice little wish. Something more than just two words of a refuah shleima. So, question. Given that here we are in you know, the place of the Rosh Hashiva, Moshe Feinstein, and his spirit is here in the neighborhood, I was very touched by, I came across probably in Yoschus, a tshuva that appeared in Yoredei Chelek Dalet, which is the volume that appeared just after Moshe was nifter in Tavshin Mem Vav. And he has a tshuva, which I want to summarize. You have the first paragraph in front of you, and I'll summarize for you some of the main points of this. It's a fascinating thing that he analyzes. The question was asked, people consider an individual to be a righteous, a chacham, a tzaddik, and because of that, people were asking him to daven. Should he? Because he has a reputation of being someone special. But himself doesn't think that I'm anyone special. Should you, need you, daven or not? Chav Beis Kislev, Tavshin Mem Aleph, this is Tavshin Mem Aleph, 1981. Masha Zahar Beis Shonim, Shibon Inshi Eli. Many years people were coming to me, I remember well, many of you remember well, how people would come from all over the world to Rav Moshe, to Rav Shiva, and ask to daven for whatever it might be. Levakesh, Shastar Alem, Hashem Yisbarach, Al-Kod Sarah Shavotavo, Chas V'Shalom, Shavorchem Ulchol, Dover Hatzlichim, Ben Bebriyas Haguf, Ben Shivarach Hashem Yisbarach, Osem Beban Mubanos, for health, for children, Per Nasa, Hatzlacha B'Torah, B'Yon Yiguf HaNefesh, V'chom Mishal Osa'adam. V'ani Osir B'Tzonam, I do as I ask what they ask me to do, Mevarach Osam, U'mispal Ba'adam, Afshi Yaduri Moch Erki, I know my low worth, the katonti, but Torah Masim Tovim, I know that I'm Moshe was such an honor. I know my level. Shavari Tmiyah Zainsha Makimu, see people know me and they wonder about this. Vigam Yadua, Mikama Gdoli Torah, Shem Omru Hamavakshim, Mehem Lubarech, Lispao, Shem Ruli, many Gdoli Torah were asked Davin, I'm not on the level. I'm not on the level to Davin for you. I can give you. So, Yelchu Vakish Me'achirim, go to someone else, to Oskim, because that's what they do. V'ani lo dechisi Osam, v'shalcham l'achirim. Shetzorach time, I have to explain why is this. He proceeds to analyze the importance of tefillah, of whoever it might be. Whoever it might be, to daven, you never know what tefillah can accomplish. He brings an idea that Gemara mentioned in certain cases of a tefillah, which is called a to'eva. If a person davens and turns out there's something filthy, with a bad odor, a foul odor near you, so that is considered tefillah se to'eva. So tefillah se to'eva means there's no possibility of a tefillah like that being accepted. But if something is not called tefillah se to'eva, like a case described in that Gemara, just because somebody might not be personally from observant in every way, they might be, you might think, such a person is going to daven, Hashem is going to listen. A person is a maimon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you never know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer a tefillah. Not only that, he says, even a non-Jew, Sarah Imenu hears three Arabs, in her mind, that's who they were, tell her she's going to have a child. Batitzchak Sarah Bekirba. What is this? Hashem is upset that Sarah is cynical. What's the issue? Sarah couldn't imagine, you know, it's beyond miraculous that she should have a child. Who are these people? She couldn't take them seriously. And Hashem says, you never know, because typically we don't daven for a miracle. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can answer the tefillah of anybody for all kinds of reasons. You never know. Shlomo HaMelech said, if a non-Jew is going to come to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and daven, and they're going to be angry at Hashem for not answering, Hashem will answer just that they won't have timeness on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chil Hashem. That could be a reason why Hashem will answer tefillah. So these people come and wish her something, and they'll be upset that in their mind Hashem should have done it, so Hashem could answer the tefillah. And so you have to realize that, even on something like this. Says Rav Moshe, V'gam ha'ikad mitzvah speaker cholim. As we discussed here, mitzvah bikachom is kedei shiyispalel kisheroeyu, that Hashem should send a refuah. Mitzvah bikachom is not just for a chacham and a tzaddik. Any person doesn't, you don't need a minion. Better not to go with a minion. You're going to overwhelm the cholah, he says. So you have one person, two, three people. They don't get you more in a hospital sometimes without, you know, more than two, three people. And there's an inyan to daven. What does it show? That any tefillah by anybody, however personally observant or not, can have an effect, and that's the power of tefillah. Nimtza l'fizah, I quote, she'af misha mevakesh mechaveiro, misha hu af adam pashut, ve'af eno nisa b'mitzvahs kol kach, ve'af od l'gruy me'ei, less than that, im hu achu maimin ba'ashem yizbarach. He's a believer. He believes in God. Bein she'bikshu bal peh, bein she'bikshu b'chsav, whether you're asked orally, verbally, whether you ask someone sent you a letter, Sarach l'spala avor Hashem, get an email. Someone sends you, daven for this person. Who am me? I'm nothing. No, Sarach is parallel. The Efsher Shashem is Baruch Yachus Litfilasa or Berkasa Me'ezatam, for whatever reason, Kihu Yodev is Ocher, Kom Masa Machshava Shal Ko Ish Ve'ish, the Efsher Shayeshu Ezeschus. Shakadish Baruch Hu Yikabah Kadosh Baruch Hu Tfilasa B'Shvil Zeh V'Gam Zeh Gufa Shemitztayer B'Tzayru Shechaveiro, and he wants the best for that person Shemekayim Zeh Mitzvah V'Avta Racha Kamocha, that becomes a schus Shikabah Shem Yisbach Tfilasa. If you feel for the person, that's V'Avta Racha Kamocha, that could be a schus for the Chol itself. And then he goes on based on that, says Koshken Kishu Chacham, even if you're not a Chacham on the level that is really, you know, the perfect Chacham with the Talmud, the Gemara. But, you know, that is certainly even more so an obligation that you have to daven. And therefore, he concludes in the last paragraph, he says, and it's worth reading and rereading, L'chein mi'achas shika chiyuv midina, an absolute obligation, l'chol adam l'spal b'ad chavero l'varcho, if he knows of the person's situation. And certainly, if you're asked, har m'chuyiv ani, l'spal l'varch, k'pam mevak shim osi b'chol open, if people ask me, I have no choice. The option of Vakshinosi with Palel is based on a misinterpretation. It won't help if I tell them that they're mistaken, I'm not a Chacham. Then they'll say, ah, that's just your Anava. So it won't help if I try to push back. So therefore, and I can't, and also, Gam Haloshach, Akishisamitsius, I can't deny the reality. Nisparsamti, Ba'olam, Shem Chacham, people see me as a Chacham, Mitzashani Machsek Yeshiva. And min asvarm shechibarti, afshe zeh rochok from the chacham of the Gemara that the Gemara is talking about, but also maybe it's good enough to be called chacham in this generation, even though it's mechalik in this chacham and that chacham, as I said, and therefore, kivish alchom machzik osig chacham bedinu tzarach ahachzik kein harihoch amakom shabbat. So therefore, that's why I have to babble. Just to conclude, and this really speaks to the importance of how we should think of ourselves and think of others in general in life. Two comments of Rabbeinu Yonah. One in Sefer HaYira, and one is commentary to Pirkei Avos. I read you the last two sources on the sheet, and maybe I'll just after that, conclude with another gematria, which I found fascinating as well. It just, again, brings out the idea of the power of tefillah, and we don't even realize what's in the words that we say. Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Yispalo b'chol yom k'titzachus l'shono." Should daven every day as the words come out. Akol choli b'nei Yisrael sheyisrafu. Thank you. For all sick people and the Jewish people should get a refuah. Al habriim shelo yechelu. Those who are healthy should not get sick, and Hashem should save them from all problems and nezek and suffering and poverty and so on, and so on and so forth. That is what he writes in Sefer HaYira. In his commentary to Pirkei Avos, and this is perhaps very relevant in the times that we live as well, the importance of Shloma Shel Malchus, to have a stable government, not to have protests in the streets day in, day out, but to understand that government is essential to preserve one order. A person should daven, he says, B'Shloma Shel Malchus. Without that, there's anarchy and chaos. Person should daven for the welfare of the entire world, to feel for the pain of others, so tzaddikim practiced, as David HaMelech says, don't make your tefillos just be about my needs, what I need. That everybody in the world should get along with each other. With that, there's peace in the world. The Kuznetzer Magid in the Vodas Yisrael says there's a secret to the words that we say. We don't realize, of course, tefillah has so many levels and dimensions in the words and the kavana. Sometimes we don't realize the kavana, the power of the tefillah. Refa'enu Hashem v'nei rafe. Rashei tevos. Refa'enu is a 200 race. Hashem is Yud, Yud Kevavke, and Avav of Nerafei, 216. Chesed. Chesed is 72. Multiply 72 by 3, 216. Three times Chesed. Hoshi'eni, continue the words, Hoshi'eni, v'nivasheya, ki sihilaseinu ata. Take the first letter of those five words. Hoshi'eni, five, v'nivasheya, is six, is 11, ki is
31,
tihilaseinu, 431, ata, 432. 432 is six times chesed. We have 216, double that. Now you have three times chesed, and now you have six times chesed. That's so far nine times chesed. Finally, at the end of the bracha, Baruch Hashem, Rofei Chole Amo Yisrael. Take the Rashi Tevos, first letter. Rofei,
200.
Chole, 8. Amo,
278.
Yisrael, 288 is also a multiple of chesed. Four times chesed. So what do we have? Three times chesed?
Six.
Six times chesed is nine. Four times chesed.
13.
Yud Gimel is Midas Harachamim. 13 times Midas Harachamim that we're hinting at in the Bracha Rifa'enu. Hashem should hear our tfilos, the soch, all other tfilos of Kali Yisrael. He should send the four Shreimel, the Chol, Choli Amo Yisrael. And if Hashem, we should only know of Brius, Simcha, Nachas, all of us.
Amen. Thank Rabbi Adler for the beautiful shiur.